What is coaching and how does it differ from mentoring?
You know, the problem is that there's far too much that is being read into these labels of coaching and mentoring.
Correct.
In fact, if you really were to look at the etymology of the words, mentoring is far more what coaching is. And coaching is a lot of hogwash, which is about saying moving a person from one point to another. That's how a claim in Old English, it started with the word, the coach that transports people. But Correct. Mentor was based on the person who was the guide, philosopher, friend of Hercules. Mm-hmm. So these are Western labels, which I think have really very little meaning today. That's why we chose the word acharya when combined with coach, called kocharya. Mm-hmm. The word acharya, though it means acharya, walking by the side, it's about an equal. It's about a person who works with another person with great respect and feeling of being equal and not providing solutions, not providing advice and stuff like that, but creating awareness.
Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. If you are new to our channel, please consider subscribing to it and hit the bell icon so that you never miss an update. I am Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm privileged to welcome not just a person who has been a very, very senior corporate professional, but also is a master coach, Mr. Ram Ramanathan. Ram, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Ram is the co-founder of Master Coach. He is also with Co-Acharya. He has been the group president of the Bakri Group, the president of the Anand Group, and he was a global senior manager with Unilever. So Ram, let's start with coaching. What decided you, what made you decide to become a coach?
Well, I'd love to say that, like many master coaches claim, that I was a born coach. I was.
Okay.
I was nowhere near being a coach-like person during my entire corporate career, where even though, Unilever was my alma mater and so on, in my generation at least, that was probably about 40, 50 years ago when I started my career, the entire approach to leadership, management, managerial capabilities was one of driving people through fear more than anything else. And so you generally told people, jump, and then they jumped. If they didn't, you would use a stick. Nobody dare ask you, why should I jump? And show me how to jump or whatever, which is what, thankfully, the world has turned into today with millennials. So I wouldn't at all say that I was anywhere near being a coach at any point in time during my leadership career, which lasted till I was about 50. And then I was on my own. I built a number of companies. I was an angel investor, all kinds of stuff. And then I got into some kind of a spiritual journey. And at the end of it, when I got out of it and decided that in comparison to the nonprofits and the spiritual space and the academic space, I would much rather go back into the corporate space where at least people were not hypocrites.
Right.
The rest of them, I evidenced huge amount of hypocrisy, complete lack of authenticity between what was being said and what was being practiced.
Correct.
No different from politicians, being the spiritual gurus and the academic leaders and people who run NGOs. Whereas at least in corporates, we used to accept the fact that, we are here to make money. So I was pretty disenchanted and frustrated where one of my former friends from Lever suggested, why don't you take up coaching? And I said, what the heck? I don't play football. I don't play cricket. I can't be a coach. What can I be a coach on? I didn't even know really what coaching meant, to be honest. This was when I was pretty close to 60 something or past. No. It's all about, how do you help people find their solutions? You being a troubleshooter, you've been a corporate leader, you have done all that work and you are a great mentor, so you'd be a great coach. The hypothesis was pretty faulty when after I learned what coaching was about. Mm-hmm. Somehow or other, it inspired me. And then I started looking at coaching, and I said, yeah, why not? I was quite happy with adventures.
Mm-hmm.
And I just gotten out of one in a spiritual quest, and I was quite happy to do this. Mm-hmm. But when I started doing it, I really found that I loved it. And I mm-hmm. was passionate about the way that coaching process worked, which was about awakening somebody's awareness, and the coach saying very little, inspiring and influencing the client to think on what they need to do, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it started.
Okay.
And then since I really had liked teaching, training, doing that kind of stuff,
mm-hmm.
I wanted to combine the two. So way back in about 2011-12, I started this coaching as a business mm-hmm. with a coach training operation, as well as coaching people.
Mm-hmm.
And that eventually turned into Coacharia, which my son and I founded in 2012-2013,
mm-hmm.
which today is run by our CEO, Magda. We have become fairly global.
Very interesting. Very interesting. So, you know, again, for our viewers and listeners, Ram, tell us, what is coaching and how does it differ from mentoring?
You know, the problem is that there's far too much that is being read into these labels of mm-hmm. coaching and mentoring.
Correct.
In fact, if you really were to look at the etymology of the words, mentoring is far more what coaching is. And mm-hmm. coaching is a lot of hogwash, which is about saying moving a person from one point to another. That's how mm-hmm. a claim in Old English, it started with the word, the coach that transports people. But
correct.
Mentor was based on the person who was the guide, philosopher, friend of Hercules.
Mm-hmm.
So these are Western labels, which I think have really very little meaning today. That's why we chose the word Acharya
mm-hmm.
when combined with coach to call Coacharya.
Mm-hmm.
The word Acharya, though it means Acharya, walking by the side,
mm-hmm.
it's about an equal. It's about a person who works with another person with great respect and feeling of being equal
mm.
and not providing solutions, not providing advice and stuff mm. like that, but mm. creating awareness. And that is what the teacher in the Gurukul tradition is supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I, yeah, fine. For the purpose of differentiation, we tend to say today that mentoring is probably bringing more your experience and expertise. But for instance, as different from International Coaching Federation, the European Mentoring Coaching Council still calls itself a mentoring and coaching council because they believe that mentoring should also be an awareness creation process, that it should not be a directive process.
Mm.
And more, I find organizations are really looking for people who are a mix of both
correct.
Mentors and coaches.
Mm.
Just being a coach, asking the client to gaze on their navel doesn't work. Nobody has the time, nobody has the patience, nobody has the kind of skills to be able to do it.
Mm.
So there has to be a mix of bringing in the experience and expertise of the person who is doing the mentoring coaching into that client, but at the same time, not provide solutions. The difference is not providing solution, not being directive,
sure.
not being an advisor, not all that kind of a stuff.
Mm.
So I don't contribute to the general traditional view held today. I think it will change, and I should change, that coaching and mentoring are, and similarly, counseling as well. There
yeah.
isn't that great a difference between these three, counseling, coaching, and mentoring. And if you really, we believe that Carl Rogers is really the father of coaching,
mm.
his client-centric approach of empathy, unconditional positive regard and congruence mm. is really what the base of all coaching is about.
Mm-hmm.
And so between these three, you just move a little bit. Which one is more asking, which one is a little bit more telling, it all is very situational. And all of them are really about the future, not about therapy, which is going into the past. So I mean, answer your question in a little longish way. I would put all these about the same.
Very interesting. So, you know, Ram, when you and I are probably of a similar vintage, I remember when I was growing up in, you know, the ITC and so on, a mentor or a coach used to be either in the family, father or grandfather, in the company, some senior manager who took a like for you. today it has become a profession. Why has coaching become so important in the corporate world today?
Well, I'm not really sure. I mean, even now, when you look at the number of people being coached in organizations, it's a very, very small proportion.
Right.
Okay, so I wouldn't like to make a big deal of it. And okay, there are more number of people getting graduated because of the, as coaches, because of the marketing abilities of some of these agencies and so on and so forth. But I think the way that it can spread far, I look at it slightly differently. I'm of the opinion that we still haven't reached anywhere near the critical mass that is required to make
coaching
substantially important in a corporate space or an institutional space. Even today, for instance, I would say 50% of the people, or maybe more, call themselves life coaches, and whatever the difference they might attribute to, which might be the same as a counselor or something of that sort, but some of them, most of them without any kind of a training. I think we need to be able to provide an infrastructure or a basic framework, a good framework, like what the accreditation agencies today provide in coaching, which is a combination of coaching and mentoring and leadership training, which is systemic, which is just not about the individual. It's not about, like many of the coaching practices seem to think, that it's about only looking into the mind of the client and trying to create an awareness. Yes, it is, but there's a lot more to it. That awareness has to be not just about the individual, but about the larger ecosystem around. In a sense, what I would call as the system of self, stakeholders, and the larger system, ecosystem.
Okay.
So if you take it as an organization, it would be the individual, the team that the individual works with, which may change from time to time, and the larger organizational infrastructure.
Interesting.
So if we are able to expand that individual coaching framework into a larger systemic framework, which by necessity would have to also work with teams and groups rather than just individuals. I think that's a point at which coaches can make the maximum contribution to corporates. And the very simple logic for this is this, or two pieces of logic, if I were to look at it that way, or two or three. One is, we would be able to align the needs of the organization in terms of the vision, mission, goals, etc., with the aspirations of the individuals. When we work with the teams, it's easier. Second, we would be able to evidence it much better. Today, there are many people who claim we can calculate a return on investment on coaching. I think it's hogwash. It's just not possible, because it would be multiple indirect derivatives. And there is no way that, however much I transform a person's aggressive behavior into a more collaborative behavior, I would be able to calculate how much the organization has really added dollars and cents to its bottom line. And the third is, over and above these two, it's much more cost effective, because by and large, any ethical coach charges more on the time that one spends. So whether I spend with six people, 10 people, or one person, I charge the same. And it's much more cost effective if an organization would work with me for 6 to 10 people, and maybe on a case-by-case basis with a couple of people as individual coaching, they would derive much greater benefit. So in every which way, a systemic approach would add far greater value through coaching to organizational effectiveness and performance. And that is when I think really organizations will start using coaching in a much, much larger way.
Very interesting. So tell me, how can coaching benefit a professional manager? I mean, you know, as we go through the ranks, how will a coach help me?
See, multiple ways. I mean, the simplest two or three things that I can think about is, first, behaviorally. Most managers today, however much people talk about people engagement, emotional intelligence and all that, they try to copycat people who are above them. And many organizations still while they pay lip service to people management, they are still very, very task oriented. They are they talk about collaboration, but each one is out with the swords to reduce the other person for one's own behavior.
Right.
So many of these things in terms of communication, collaboration, aggression, and so on and so forth, in terms of behavior, they can be substantially enhanced and brought to the right perspective in a way that helps a larger organization and teams through coaching.
Okay.
And there are multiple performance features, whether it is simple things like, how do I delegate better?
Right.
How do I manage my time better? How do I start looking at the larger strategic aspect of how to take decisions and so on?
Mm-hmm.
All these adding to the performance management in our organization.
Right.
From a skill set as well, coaching can do it far better than ordinary training would, which is vertical. Coaching is much more horizontal, much more people-centric, and it can be with groups as well.
Sure.
And thirdly, as I said, it can align the individual with the team with a larger organization.
Mm-hmm.
There's a beautiful flow in terms of what I call the organizational cultural ladder matrix, which stems from the culture and the vision of an organization through the mission into its goals and KPIs and OKRs and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
How do I achieve them? And therefore, voila, you are able to help that individual move from being just an ordinary manager into a leader. I think these are three or four different ways in which coaching can tremendously enhance the performance of an individual manager. In very simple words, I would say coaching can help a manager become a leader.
Wonderful. And how long should a coaching relationship be for?
Well, my views may not necessarily reflect everybody's.
Sure.
I think there is a minimum period that we need to work with as a coach, which I think is about 6 months. I would prefer 9, because especially when it's behavioral and changing long-standing habits and so on, there's a neuroplastic, neurobiological change that needs to take place. And it usually takes between 3 and 6 months, and especially if it's not being done on a daily mentoring basis with another person, with a coach once in a month, once in 3 weeks, it's certainly going to take between about 6 to 9 months. So what I usually do is to work with them on 3 to 4 weeks frequency over a period of about 9 months. And in between, we agree on certain things that need to be worked upon. There is an action learning, and then we review that and move on to the next stage. So I think that's about the minimum I would look at.
Okay.
And the maximum, I would say, between about 12 to 18 months. Okay. Beyond that, I think if a coach is still trying to work with a client, it only means that either the coach has not been successful in making that change sustainable, or the coach is making the client dependable on the coach, dependent on the coach, dependent on the coach, which is the worst thing that you can do.
Correct.
So you should sever the cord and make the client independent, as well as make the process sustainable. So somewhere between 9 to 18 months is what I believe is about the time period. And I would say at the maximum, it might be about 2 to 3 weeks. I would say 3 weeks. So probably anywhere between about 12 to 20 sessions, roughly about an hour to 90 minutes. With Indian clients, I prefer to have 90 minutes because we tend to build a relationship in a way that we don't hurry the other person out.
Right.
Whereas typically the Western coaching approach is, oh, we are on the top of the bye-bye. Okay, that kind of a stuff, which is, I think, inimical to the coaching approach. So if you do it that way, this is what I would put down as my norms.
Very interesting. And one last question for coaching before I move to the next segment.
Sure.
How does a coaching evaluate whether I have a good coach?
By the time you worked with a person for about 3 months as a coach, you are able to create a certain awareness in the client as to what are those limiting beliefs which have been blocking them in moving forward. And how do they move forward from a very transactional thinking of what's happening at this point in time purely from mercenary beliefs into a larger space of defining a purpose and so on. At least this is the way that I work.
Mm-hmm.
So if I were to advise another person to look for what's in a coach, what is the value that the coach has added to me, which is now helping me to coach myself,
mm-hmm.
in a sense? So in a very, very simplistic way, the coach should be able to enable the client to self-coach during the period of coaching and gradually reduce the dependence. And the self-coaching would lead to a greater sense of self-awareness, a self-discovery of the purpose and meaning in life,
mm-hmm.
and to be able to create a future vision which is much larger than what the coach and the client have agreed on, mm-hmm. which may be one or two transactional items on the agenda.
Right.
So, I mean, that would be my advice to people, and which is what I would try and ask my clients to evaluate me on.
Mm.
What is that shift that has happened to you, which is lifelong, that would be sustainable for you? In what way have you improved your relationships across, not just with your boss so that you can get a promotion, or with a peer that you have a problem, but how has it really changed you? Those are the kind of things that one can measure.
Very, very interesting. So, Ram, I'm now going to move to the second segment of our conversation. There are some questions for you personally. For someone who's, run such large businesses, set up an amazing coaching organization, what are some of the core values you believe in?
There's only one simple, I mean, if you're familiar with the Hindu Vedic scripture, I don't want to call it Hindu. Hindu is a borrowed Arabic word. There's the five yamas of yoga.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe in truth, because truth is everybody's perception.
Correct.
Nobody has realized the ultimate truth of the Brahman, which is, again, total BS. All these other things, coveting somebody else and so on and so forth. And brahmacharya doesn't mean what it properly supposed to mean. It's completely different. It's walking the path of the truth, the Brahman, not celibacy, as these fake sannyasis make it appear.
Mm.
The only one which stands up for me is ahimsa, which is nonviolence.
Correct.
Which is about how do I avoid hurting anybody, intentionally or unintentionally, by thought, speech, or action.
Mm-hmm.
And if I am able to stay in that path, for me, that becomes my dharma as well as my karma.
Right.
That's what I believe in.
Mm. Okay. And my next question is, really a question relating to success. As you look back at life after having achieved so much, from where you stand today, what does success mean to Ram?
Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the word doesn't even resonate in any which way. There were times when it did. 30 years ago, 40 years ago, it was measured in millions of dollars or crores of rupees or whatever it is in a status and so on and so forth. Today, it's just a pure acceptance. So I don't even want to say, okay, how many people have I helped and whatever it is.
Okay.
Big deal. It doesn't happen because of anything that I have brought about. Whatever needs to happen, happens. So I don't think the word success, if I were to use an alternative word, I would say fulfillment or acceptance. Mm-hmm. And therefore, to me, fulfillment is about just being there. And it all sounds a bit artificial, but the fact is, be in acceptance of what the universe provides.
Very interesting.
If I'm able to do that, I'm fine.
Wonderful. And my last question to you now, Ram, which is, this is the thousands of people who will listen to our conversation. As someone who spent so many years in the corporate world, what would your advice be to a young individual who's starting off on her or his journey in the corporate world?
Yeah, it's a difficult question.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, there is no, I don't believe that there is any kind of a generic answer.
Sure.
Each person's DNA is completely different. The whole etymology of coaching is based on that. But in general, all that I would tell the person is, believe in yourself and try to figure out what's your real purpose in this life, not some framework of ikigai and so on and so forth. In the Hindu philosophy, the Vedic philosophy, we believe in something called a prarabdha, which is the reason why you took birth. And there are meditative practices which can help you achieve that. But there are cognitive processes which can help you achieve that. What are the things which have made you joyful since childhood or young age? And in order for you to be, in a simple sense, every young person should look at happiness as a factor of success, not dollars and cents, not positions. For me, when I was in my 30s, the only thing that I could think of was a corner office and making a couple of $1 million, which was fake because the greed kept increasing. But if we were to develop a mindset of need-based purpose in life, which enables us, empowers us, as well as people around us, and that's what matters. And for that, you need to have belief in yourself, confidence that, yes, irrespective of whatever other people may think, if I follow that, I would succeed. So that's about what I would leave someone with.
Thank you, Ram. Ram, thank you very much. It's been such an amazing conversation talking to you. You know, a lot of new things that I have learned about coaching today. Thank you again.
Well, totally my pleasure. And anytime again.
So, thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.